Well, I also have a birthday coming up somewhat soon. And every year when our birthdays roll around, I'm sure that just for a quick moment, reality kind of grasps us again, just for a quick moment, and we realize, wow, time just keeps speeding up. Every year it gets faster. Then, just as quick as that thought might have come in, some distraction comes along, not necessarily a bad one, but we move on and we start living life in the moment again. But what would happen if we decided to allow ourselves back into that moment to contemplate just a while longer? Would we maybe contemplate the energy that we expended over the last year or the years, and what did it avail us? The energy that we have spent over the last year or the last handful of years, what did it avail us? Now, for some, might jump first to our trophy wall. Got some plaques and some trophies up there, some recognition, maybe of some physical accomplishments. Again, nothing wrong with that. Maybe we won a race at one time. Maybe we were on the winning ball team. If you're a bowler, maybe you hit that 300 mark. Maybe we look back at some of the energy we expelled and realize, I've made it a couple of rungs up that corporate ladder. I'm getting paid decently now. They put me in a management position. Again, nothing wrong with these things. Maybe we consider the energy that we spent over not just a year or a couple of years, but maybe over decades that we poured into marriage, having kids, raising a family. Maybe now watching and helping to guide on one level grandkids. Again, nothing wrong with putting energy into any of these areas. God would have us put at least some of our energy into this. But since we're here, shouldn't we get to the point where we consider the energy we put into spiritual growth? So, when was the last time you evaluated your spiritual growth? Maybe over the past 6 months, the past year, the past decade. Where have you grown at? I think it's safe to say all of us have grown, but have we spent any time thinking about that? Where did I put energy in? And what came about from that energy that I poured into my spiritual life? 2 Corinthians 13. Second Corinthians 13, verse 5. Paul here is closing out a letter to the Corinthians, and he's closing out this letter with a warning. In verse 5, he says, "Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith." So, do we test ourselves? Consider evaluate our spiritual maturity? Where was it 6 months ago? Where was it a year ago? Where was it 10 years ago? Where have we grown? Because in most cases, we don't really get a plaque for that, do we? But we should consider, have I grown? And we should be able to see, yes, I have. Because I think all of us feel comfortable, at least in the moment, this moment, in the energy that we've been putting forth in our daily prayer life, in our study habits, in our walk, this walk that God has given us during the day, the best that we know how. And on one level, we should, hopefully we are comfortable with our prayer life. I'm hoping that no one here is going, oh crud, I am really neglecting that. Because the kids just were reminded that that's what you need the most. But is as we know it anywhere near the mark that God expects of us? Does he expect more out of us? He does. And I think we know that he has given us everything we need to hit his marks, not simply our own. So, then the question really is, are we utilizing all the tools that he's already given us freely to hit his mark? Paul's reminding us that we're not perfect, that we have room for spiritual growth. For me, probably for you, I can't afford to coast where I'm at. Feel comfortable. I need to ask for and channel more strength and energy into spiritual maturity. Handful of months ago, I sensed new something's off in my spiritual life. And I couldn't fully put my finger on it. It was just like something's amiss here. What is it? I didn't sense that in any way that I was wandering away from something I should be drawing closer to. But something just wasn't right. So I started talking to God about it. And more, it felt like an unfocused pursuit. I am pursuing, but what am I pursuing? And am I pursuing it in the way that I should be? Yesterday, with the BAMES being over, they brought Copper. He's a terrier of some sort, or a mixed terrier. And when you bring a dog to a new territory, what do? They immediately start exploring. And how do they explore? They zigzag all around the yard, all around the territory. They're sniffing. They're spending lots of time, lots of energy, looking, sniffing, marking. Not really achieving a whole lot because they're not focused on hardly anything. They're just, what's over here? What's over here? What's over here? What's that? But within just a few moments, that dog maybe notices a rabbit hopping 50 yards away. And like that, they're focused. They have a single pursuit, and nothing's going to distract them from it. Maybe even owner. You can yell, scream, pull on the leash. They're going to pull on you. But they're focused, aren't they? I think often we find ourselves, maybe we don't understand it, but we find ourselves lacking in this focus. And it's due that to the fact that we get caught up living in the present rather than seeking our future. So as I contemplated this thing that wasn't right for me in my spiritual walk, I finally looked at it this way. I feel like I'm walking along a path. It's not burdensome. It's kind of enjoyable. I'm in the midst of a beautiful rose garden, walking around on the path. But I'm not on the superhighway to the kingdom. In the garden, we meander. Can I glance at this over there? Look at that over there? Smell this over here? But a superhighway? That's the fastest way to the destination, isn't it? It may not necessarily take you on a straight line from point A to point B, but as it curves, it goes around things that would slow us down. That town that 30 years ago was just a tiny little village now is sprawled out into a big city. And the superhighway goes around it. There's exits along the way. They may not be bad exits. However, we need to consider, if I choose to get off at one, even if we intend to get right back on, we're going to arrive at our destination later than what we could have. I need focus. So in the moment, I'm talking to God. I ask for more strength to do the things that I'd already been doing. If I keep doing the things I've already been doing, do I really change anything? Then it hit me. Somehow I had stopped asking God to challenge me. Take me to the next level. I've been coasting. I was comfortable. So my new prayer for the last few months is I've been asking God to further mold and shape me into what He has created me for. Be careful what you pray for. I knew in advance that this prayer was going to take greater energy and feel difficult, if not impossible at times. But I also knew I didn't want to remain here because I'm nowhere near the finish line. And then He started opening my eyes to areas that I'd either been neglecting or had never before realized that was in need of major change. This part of the process is painful. Flat out, it is painful. As we go through it, not only are we made aware of some shortcomings, but in a lot of cases, of how it affects our relationship with God, these shortcomings. And he makes sure we don't miss the fact that we realize, oh, this is affecting others as well in ways that I don't want to affect them. Too often, we allow the worldview of, look, if I decide to do this, it's okay. I'm not hurting anybody else. No, that's wrong. You remember Achan, the Israelites at Jericho? They were told when the walls fell, they weren't to touch any of the spoil. Well, I shouldn't say touch, but the spoils weren't for them. They were who? They're for God. Leave them alone. They're mine. Achan was there. He saw something that he desired, more than one thing. He grabbed them, took them back to his tent, and hid them. God's not happy. Achan's approached by Joshua. In Joshua 7, verse 20, Achan answered Joshua. He said, "It is true. I am the one who sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them, and I took them, and now lie hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath them." Verse 24. Then Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, son of Zerah, with the silver and the mantle and the bar of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen and his donkeys and his sheep, his tent and all that he had. They brought them up to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why did you bring this trouble upon us?" And the Lord is bringing trouble on you today. And all of Israel stoned him to death. They burned them with fire and cast the stones on them. It wasn't just Achan that was chastised for this. His whole family went down. But they weren't the only ones. Because if you go back up to verse 5, Joshua had sent some men to go scout out Ai, the city of Ai. And verse 5 says, "The men of Ai killed about 36 of them, chasing them from outside the gate as far as Shebarim and killing them on the slope. The hearts of the people melted and turned to water." So all of Achan's family is destroyed because of his decision in the moment to self-satisfy. 36 other men, families, lost loved ones. But then the whole congregation of Israel, it says they melted. It affected them physically and spiritually in negative ways. Every single word or action from us affects many others. Spiritual maturity is when our actions are positive rather than negative. Once our eyes have been opened to what we are to pursue, next we start the pursuit. The pursuit. This is a different phase. It's going to be difficult, but usually it's not as painful. In this phase is where we're going to need some patience. Because this pursuit isn't going to happen in an instant. It takes time. We're going to need lots of strength because there'll be some battles along the way. And we're going to need some endurance. But as we become focused on the target, we're going to need to put forth great effort, but we will probably experience some cheering from the sidelines as we go along. There'll be some people that realize something is taking place. Something's different. At minimum, you'll get some feedback from God. He'll let you know. He'll give you little pats on the back, letting you know that, this is what we're striving for. It's during this phase that it's not enough simply for us to want to change our circumstances. Wanting's not going to do anything for us. We have to change our mindset, our heart. Go to Luke 15. Luke 15, verse 13. This is in the middle of the prodigal son. It says, a few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country where he had squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. And he would have gladly had filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion and ran out to put his arms around him and kissed him. Notice in verse 16, it says the son could have stolen from the pigs, taking their food. And he could have satisfied himself for the moment, spared himself from hunger, at least in the moment. But he didn't do that. It says he changed his heart. I'm going back to Dad. I'm going to apologize, ask for his forgiveness, and I'm going to live life different. He was willing to become a servant in order to have stability back in his life. During this phase, our pursuit no longer is simply self-serving, but now we realize a need and a new desire to serve others. So are we truly willing to have God change our heart? Our heart's desires. Take us from a desire of selfish comfort to a desire to be stretched, contorted, molded, and shaped into the being that He originally had planned as our creation. I know I'm nowhere near the goal of what God desires for me. July 5th. Several days ago, we passed a mile marker on the calendar, man's calendar. We're now closer to 2050 than we are to the year 2000. Is time speeding up? Or do we just realize that I have a lot less time than what I used to? I know I have fewer years left than the years I've already lived. I can't coast from here on out. I know I wasn't created for that. Have you seen the YouTube videos? There's a lot more than one. The race is this close to being over with. Maybe it's a bicyclist. Maybe it's a runner. And the camera at first, it looks like they're all alone. They're way out ahead in first place. The ribbon is coming up. The hands go up. They back off on their speed. And second place passes them and takes the ribbon. How do we answer God if he's looking down and he watches us do that? You were there. You were there. And you decided to coast. So for our remaining days, months, years, decades, is God going to see us putting forth all the effort? Utilizing all the ability he has given us, all the tools he's given us, to the very end? Or will be one that decides to coast, that I've achieved enough. I've done everything that I needed to. Let's finish up in 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all of your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all of your conduct. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. He created us that we one day would dwell with him. He has a standard. And he has given us everything we need to match his standard. Let's ask him to mold and shape us and allow that process to take place.